again, we've read that scripture, looked at it, but Acts chapter 10, and we're going to look at the first two verses. Amen. Acts chapter 10. Let's see. Yeah, we do it this way. Acts chapter 10, and we're going to look at the first two verses. Please stand together after you find it. I know it's going to take a second. Acts chapter 10. And verses 1 and 2. Listen to the word of God. This translation I'm reading from may be a little different from yours. If your book says Holy Bible, you're in the right translation. Amen. There was a certain man in Caesarea, that's in Philippi, Caesarea, called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment. And verse 2 says, he was a devout, a religious man, and one who respected and feared God with all his household, and one who gave money generously to the people, and one who prayed to God always. May God bless those who read, hear, and obey his holy word. Amen. Bless God's holy name. We're going to use a topic that's not foreign to any of us. Matter of fact, heard it more than once today. We're going to use this passage of scripture for this preaching. We're going to talk about making tomorrow's possible. Amen. But how many of us know it starts with the home? Yes, somebody should have got excited about it. It starts with the family. Yes, it's got to start at home. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking it starts elsewhere, but no, it starts with the family. I'm excited when I see parents bringing their children to activities and ministries and to the church and to the community, keeping it alive. Some people often complain. They say, Reverend, the schools are so different today. The teachers scared of the school board. School board scared of the principal. Principal scared of some of the parents. Parents scared of the guidance counselors. And everybody's scared of something, but the children ain't scared of nobody. They don't care what you do, what you say. They're gonna be who they want to be. And I came by to tell you that commencement, the start, the beginning of respect and reverence and fear and loving and encouraging other folk, y'all, it's got to start at home. Do I have a witness here? If it doesn't start in the home, you need not look for it in any other place. It's good to see you, Brother Coleman, today. Good to see you, man. It's got to start in the family. It's got to start at the home. Anybody in here old enough to remember a group called Sister Sledge? Sister Sledge. They sang a song back in my day, and I say back in my day when I was in my 20s and all like that. They sang a song called We Are Family. All my sisters and me, we are family. And I used to like that daggone thing. I praise God for that. But also I used to love another song, and families are important. I used to love a song that Bill Withers sang. Bill Withers sang a song, something about with grandma's hands. Anybody remember that? Anybody old enough, grandma's hands? He said grandma's hands used to clap in church on Sunday, grandma's hands. They used to play the tambourine, grandma's hands. Used to encourage and tell Johnny not to run too fast. He might fall on a piece of glass. Grandma's hands would tell me that might be a snake in that grass. Grandma's hands would encourage unwed mothers. I think I need to say that again. Somebody say, don't bother that. I came by to tell you unwed mothers and unwed dads need to be encouraged. Do I have a witness up in it? We need to encourage them. Lord, help us today. We need to be about the business of encouragement. We need to soothe somebody who's hurting. We need to motivate someone who's down. We need to let someone know that it's not the end. There's still hope in this thing. Do I have a witness here? Grandma's hands, they used to pick me up when I was down and falling. Grandma's hands, they would encourage me that I can because God says I can. Grandma's hands, I don't know about you, but I want to meet grandma's hands and grandma in glory one of these days. Do I have a witness here? Thank the Lord. I praise God. We sang about family. We sang about home. And anybody remember Luther Vandross? Are you too holy? Somebody say, I am too, how do you say it, Pastor Brian? I'm too bougie to act like I know about Luther Vandross in the church. All of us know about the Temptations, Luther Vandross. Luther Vandross used to sing a song about, I want to dance with my father again. Something about family, y'all. You can't beat the home and the family. And if it doesn't start about making tomorrows, it doesn't start in the home, it's almost too late. But the church can pick up, but it's got to start in the family. Touch somebody on the shoulder and say, baby, it's got to start at home. Got to start at home. Anybody old enough to remember, it was in the 80s, I believe, there was the cover story on either, Bill Russell, it was either Time Magazine or Newsweek. And what that cover story was, that cover story showed a black woman and a black man. Amen. And it was something about the start of all humanity. And they pointed to the motherland. Do I have a witness here? Come on, you know the motherland. Africa. Man, when I first went to Africa a few years ago, I went to that to preach in Africa. And when I unboarded the plane, once we deplaned, when I got on the ground and I made a few steps and got to our transportation, once we made it to the hotel, a young man walked up and he looked at me. He looked like he was about 10 or 12. He looked at me and he said, ah, brother man from another land, you have now made it to the motherland. All I'm trying to say, y'all, there's something about the motherland. There's something about knowing where we came from. And I want to say, every time you open your Bible, wherever you cut it, wherever you open the Word of God, you're going to find Africa all through there. Do I have a witness here? Wait a minute. When you see names like Cush, when you see names like Canaanite, when you see names like Simon the Cyrenian, who carried Jesus' cross, when you see names that lift up people from the motherland, it lets you know that anywhere in the Bible, you are in there. Look at somebody and tell them, baby, I'm in the book.
I'm in the book. Good to see you, Brother Gaither.
I'm in the book. You are all over the book. Do I have a witness here? It's something about families and making tomorrows possible. It's got to start, y'all, at home. It's got to start in the family. And then we think about Simon the Cyrenian. He carried Jesus' cross. And later on, Paul the Apostle said that Simon the Cyrenian had a son named Rufus. Who gonna name their baby Rufus? Except some of us. Well, praise God. Glory. Glory to God. And then in the Old Testament, I'm going to preach this thing. I'm just about finished, really. In the Old Testament, the Bible and the family, there were two ladies, one named Shiphrah and another named Puah. And Pharaoh had said, I want all the boy babies to be killed because a leader is coming up from the boy babies. So kill every boy baby. And then when they found out, they went to the Shiphrah, they went to Puah, and they said, how come you're not killing these babies? And here's what these sisters did. They lied. They said, well, Mr. Pharaoh, man, and everything, we can't kill the babies because by the time we get to the birth stool, some of those women, they've already had the baby, and they taking the baby gone, nursing the baby, hiding somewhere. Do I have a witness here? You know they were lying, but all I'm saying is that they did what they could to save the home and to save the family. Do I have a, anybody can testify that I'm here today because I had a mama and a daddy, or somebody overseeing, a godparent, a godmama, godfather. They took care of me. They saw to it that I had shoes on my feet, that I had clothes on my back. They saw to it that I had school supplies. They were right there. They took care of me. Do I have a witness here? Can anybody testify, had it not been for somebody who reached out to me, wouldn't be here today? Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. So y'all, it sounds like we are all over that Bible, that God was about the business of making tomorrows possible. Then when I think about who can forget my main man, Joshua. Oh, come on, you know Joshua. He fit the battle of Jericho. Jericho and the walls come tumbling. Joshua said this way. He said this. He said, you can serve any God you want to serve. He said, you can serve the gods that people served on the other side of the river. He said, you can serve the God on whose land we dwell. They serve a God. But Joshua ran back and said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I dare you to get somebody to the high five and tell them we're going to serve Jesus. We were bought up on Jesus. Do I have a witness here? Making tomorrow's possible. Making tomorrow's possible. Glory to God. Glory to God. Our text today helps us to make and to see how vital it is for making tomorrow's possible. We're going to go ahead and preach. We're going to work this thing and we'll be finished in a few minutes. According to the clock, I should have finished 5 minutes ago. So let me shortcut it. Do I have a witness up in here? Let me shortcut it so we can get out of here. The first thing I want to mention about making tomorrow's possible, I want to lift this up, is we got to realize that God is the God of all possibilities. God is the God of all possibilities. God is the God of all possibilities. One way to look at this thing, let me see, help me, Lord, shortcut it. Let's see, come on, okay, let's try it this way. Look around at everybody. Just look at somebody. Don't focus on them too long. Be like prisoners. When I visit the jails and prisons, they tap me on the shoulder, and when I go visit some of our kinfolk in the jail, they'll say, now don't stare at anybody, Walker. Please, Pastor, don't. Because when you stare at them, once it's over, they're going to come to me and say, how come that guy was staring at me? So don't act like we're in prison. Don't stare. But just look quickly. Everybody you looked at has a word typed on them. Can't see the word, but the word that's tapped on us is a word called temporary. We are not here forever. So it's our responsibility to do our best whilst we're here. Do I have a witness up in here? Look at somebody and tell them, baby, you just temporary. Don't say it too long. Don't say it too long. Don't say it too long. And I thank the Lord for men and women who are heads of house, heads of the household. And I praise God. And I really thank the Lord. I think I'm going to do this anyhow. This is not a part of my sermon. I'll take the time off someplace else. Every man, just stand up. Every male, stand up. Every male, stand up right now. Let's give God the praise. Come on, let's thank the Lord. Every man. You may be seated. God bless you. Somebody say, why would you take the time to thank the Lord for the men who are in the house? Listen, white men, black men feel like we ain't got to do nothing that we don't want to do. And don't be trying to ask us to do something. But when you see some men worshiping God, it's a time to give God's name the glory. It's a time to give God's name the honor. It's a time to give God's name. Why? Because somebody taught them that God is the God of all possibilities. Glory to God. Verse 1 talks about a man named Cornelius. Cornelius has a lot of ubiquitousness, a lot of uniqueness about the origin of the name. Let's try it this way. Cornelius, do you know anybody today named Cornelius? I know some people named Cornelius. Cornelius is a very strong name. It means horn. Another aspect of the name Cornelius means a leader. And blacks often, they may not have had a dad named Cornelius, but they would put that surname, they would put that nomenclature, they would put that name on a baby because they wanted that child to be the horn of plenty, to be a leader and accomplishing great things. And Cornelius was that kind of man. Cornelius, the Bible said, we read it, I won't go through it again, and said he gave to the poor. He helped people. He raised his family the right way. Do I have a witness up in here? And y'all, anybody rearing their family, bringing their children, and the wives and the mothers who are here today who bring their children to worship, you are somebody. Do I have a witness up in here? Why? Because you're trying to lead the child in the right way. Do I have a witness up? You're trying to do the right thing. I think I'll leave all this stuff out, but just thank the Lord. It doesn't matter about how mama looked. Doesn't matter. I may not look as good as Usher or somebody. I mean, I look like that. And your mama may not look like Venus DeMarlo. Who is that? Your mama may not look like Mona Lisa. That's it. Somebody say, who is that? Okay, here it is. Your mama may not look like Beyonce. Do I have a witness up in there? But your mama does look good. Do I have a witness? Thank the Lord for your mama. Give God glory for your mama. Praise God for your mama. God is the God of all possibilities. And y'all, it starts at the home. It starts in the family. It's one of the best things we can do is to guide and to rear our children in the right way. Let me just cut all this other stuff out. Let's go on to the next thing about making tomorrows possible. Y'all remember, it starts in the home, it starts in the family, is that we need to and we must make the best. Here, this second point, you need to get this one. We need to make the best of what we have right now. Thank the Lord. I was talking to some children yesterday at the conference, the meeting with all the youth and the children, and a lot of children were saying, I want to thank the Lord for Jaden and all the young people from the church who did things to represent you at your church. But some of the children were saying, Pastor, I can't wait till I get into college. And I said, oh man, praise the Lord. Now, what grade are you in now? They said, I'm in the eighth grade now, but I can't wait till I go home, go away from home, and go to college. All I want to say is, do plan for college. But if you're eight, you need to make the most out of what you have right now. Go on, study that lesson. Study that math. Study that geometry. Go on, get that biology straight. Do that right now. Why? Because you're planning for the future by doing your best right now. Do I have a witness? You know, love your wife right now. Love your husband right now. Thank the Lord for what you have right now. Making the most out of what you have right now. Praise God. Praise God. Give God your all right now. And then I want to lift up is that the other thing I want to lift up is that we got to realize that Cornelius didn't look at being devout and being a good man and being, quote, religious as what he really needed. He wanted more. Anybody up in here want more than to just go through the routine? Anybody want more than just to be seen at church on Mother's Day, Christmas, and Easter? Anybody want more than just being seen? But they want to make sure that your life is making a difference, that you're making an impact on people's lives, that we're helping somebody as we pass along. We're trying to cheer someone with a word or a song. We're trying to do the right thing. And Cornelius realized that there was more to life than what they were experiencing then. He said, I've heard about what the people of God have experienced. He said, I've heard about the Red Sea. I saw how Moses lifted up his hand, held up his rod. And I heard about the waters being held up. I heard about how Daniel was kept in the lion's den. The lions couldn't bite. I've heard about those things. I've heard about when the Israelites got hungry, when the people of God got hungry, that God rained manna, food from the sky. He said, I've heard about this God. And I believe I'm not the only one. I believe Cornelius is not the only one. I believe someone else in here has heard about the goodness of the Lord. Has anybody heard about the fact that God will heal you if you're sick? Have you heard about the fact? He said, I desire that you be in good health and prosper even as your soul prospers. Have you heard about the fact that God will bless your family? That in the Old Testament, Obed-Edom, when they put the Ark of the Covenant in his home, Obed-Edom, everything got blessed. Do I have a witness here? He was blessed in the country, blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed when he went to the store, blessed he went to the mall, blessed when his children went to school, blessed on everything that he had. Why? Because he understands that God is the one who blesses. Do I have a witness up in here? God is the one who takes care. God is the one who strengthens. Cornelius was the head of his house, but he understood that above my head, I hear music in the air. And his soul was kind of in the genre of people of color when they sang songs like Above My Head, I Hear Music in the Air. There must be. There's got to be. There is a God somewhere. Do I have a witness up in here? Can anybody testify we didn't make it on our own? I'm not up here preaching because I want to. I didn't make it by myself. Had some help on the journey. Can anybody take a second and just thank God for the people that have helped them along? Somebody helped us along the way. Somebody guided us. Glory to God. Let me get on out of here. It's dinner time. It's lunch time. Let me get on out of here. Cut all this stuff out. When I was a young preacher, somebody say young preacher. Now, who was that said? You sure not young now? I'm glad to be knocking on the door at 70. I'm glad. I thank the Lord for that. When I was a young preacher in my 20s, man, I was preaching, and in those days I had an illustration. Sister, I'm gonna call you Sister Fry. Amen. But Sister Elliot. But I thank God for what I am, what I have right now. But when I was in my 20s, man, I preached a sermon, and I ended the sermon. I'm gonna close with this sermon. Glory to God with this illustration. And I hope I get it right. Lord have mercy. It was it goes like this. There was a meeting down at Jacob's Well, and the meeting was with justice and mercy. Do I have a witness here? And justice made it to the meeting. It was held at midnight. Justice came 30 minutes early. Justice walked up at Jacob's Well. Justice had on a shiny new suit, black and formal. He had a tie and had a pocket watch in his vest. Justice was looking good, Judge Gaither. Justice pulled out his gold pocket watch and said, well, he'll be here in 30 minutes. He waited, finally midnight rolled around. And Justice said, where's mercy? 5 minutes after midnight, no mercy. 20 minutes after midnight, no mercy. 12:30, no mercy. Justice said, I wonder what's taking mercy so long. Then finally at about 15 minutes after one, yonder come mercy. Mercy was dressed in normal clothes, but he had the smell of seawater, salt water all over him. Justice looked at Mercy. Mercy's clothes looked like he had been in a burning fire. And Mercy said, oh my goodness. And Justice said, why'd you look so bad? And then his clothes looked like he were tattered and torn and ragged. So Justice looked at him and said, Mercy, why are you so late? And why do you look so bad? And Mercy said, well, I'll tell you since you asked. He said, I'll tell you why I was late. He said, it was after midnight. And he said, you may not know it, Justice, but some folk cry to the Lord in the midnight hours. I wish I had a witness here. And so he said, matter of fact, Mercy said, I heard Daniel crying in a lion's den. Simba and Leo and Mufasa, the lions were messing with me. But Daniel cried, Lord, have mercy. Y'all got to help me preach this thing. And so Mercy said, I had to give lions lockjaw so they wouldn't mess with old man Reverend Daniel. And then he said, the reason my clothes of watery and smell like seawater. He said, I heard Moses and the children of Israel. They called Mercy down at the Red Sea. Mount Pihahiroth on one side. Mount Baal-zephon on the other side. An ocean of Red Sea in the front of them. And yonder come Pharaoh's army on behind. I wish I had a witness here. And Moses and the children of Israel, Mercy said, they cried out, Lord, have mercy. I wish I had a witness up in here. And he said, furthermore, the reason my clothes look like they've been burned in wildfire, And the reason looked like somebody put out a fire. He said, I heard Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were going to be thrown in the fiery furnace. And all they cried that day was, Lord, have mercy. Do I have a witness up in here? And mercy said, I had to go in the lion's den, had to go in the fiery furnace, had to go in the Red Sea, hold up the waters so the children could march over on dry land. I'm gone, y'all. Do I have a witness up in here? Now that was over, that was when I was about 20 years old. And I preached that here a few years ago. But how many know that's really old-fashioned? How many know the God we serve don't have to really get in the middle of the Red Sea and hold back the waters? How many, he didn't have to get in the lion's den and zip up the lips of Simba and Leo the lion? He didn't have to get in the fiery furnace and cool with the Hosanna fan. Really, the God we serve, I'm gone, y'all. The God we serve, all he has to do is just speak one word. All he has to do is just say, peace, be still. All God has to do is to say, little child, respect your mama. Respect your daddy. All God has to do is speak one word. Do I have a witness here? Is he all right? Has he been good to you? Has he ever made a way somehow? Has he ever fixed you for it? Or fixed it for you? If he's been good to you, let me hear you say yeah. Say yeah. Say yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Doors of the church. Doors of the church are open. There may be somebody. There may be somebody here right now. And you were hoping for some great tomorrows. Just take care of right now. Thank the Lord for right now. Just praise God for what God is doing today. I know 2019 may come, but praise God for today. Maybe somebody here who wants this man called Jesus.